Well, hello to everyone here, and hello to everyone on the computer. It's great to be here. And I was thinking this week, what a benefit it is to be able to have children's classes and adult classes. And that's something that a lot of churches are not yet getting to enjoy. And aren't you glad that our elders thought ahead, planned ahead, and just took out that wall? Because really without that, we would be much more crammed, and social distancing would be even more difficult. So I appreciate their foresight in looking ahead on that, not even knowing, to my knowledge, that COVID was going to happen. What a blessing it is to be here with you this morning. We're going to be looking at the idea of guarding our hearts. When I was a youngster going to North Livingston, a congregation in the Tampa, Florida area where my father served as a preacher and elder, there was another preacher there as well. His name was Buddy Payne. And I don't mean to play favorites, but he was my favorite preacher. And he did a whole series basically on this idea of Proverbs chapter 4, I believe it's verse 23, of guard your hearts, for from it flow the springs of life. And just the idea of all these things are attacking our hearts. And I always remembered that series. And I thought I would kind of extend that series for him 30-something years ago, probably. That'd make me seven. Maybe 20 or so years ago. Get my math a little bit better. But the idea of guarding our heart in the digital age, one of the areas in which I think we are in a battle is the idea of all these blessings that we have through the internet and devices that we have. So don't think that I have all of this figured out. It is a whole lot easier to preach this lesson than it is to live it out. So don't come to the conclusion that I have all the answers. I'm doing this perfectly. I need this just as much, if not more, than anyone. I want to show you just some statistics that I read this week that were kind of jarring to me. And we're just going to be looking at some statistics that people have come across. So the American child spends 7 to 8 hours looking at a screen, whether that be a tablet, whether that be TV, 7 to 8 hours a day looking at that. By age 7, a child will have spent an entire year looking at a screen, and that year is based on 24 hours. So that, you know, could expand even more. Based on that. So whatever 24 times 365 is, that's how many hours by age 7 they've looked at a screen. I don't know, this may be normal, but this was jarring to me. I don't know if I've ever texted that much in my lifetime, but that's how much average given high school girls text in a month, and the high school boys are a little bit slower than they are with their fingers texting. But that is they do a lot of communication in that way. And in the last one, there's certainly a lot more that we could say. But maybe due to this, the screens and the constant entertain me aspect, the attention span has dropped 40%. So is technology a blessing or a curse? Now, maybe based on my introduction, you would say, well, the preacher thinks that technology is bad. I have my computer here. I have my tablet here. And so if I were to say all technology is terrible, I'd be probably the biggest hypocrite that you would ever meet today. So in no way do I want for you to come across as technology is all bad. One question that I want to ask at the very beginning, and I want us to keep kind of looking at this. Am I using, the way I use technology, and you fill in your name there, is it a blessing? Has it been a blessing for me in my life, or has it been more of a curse? And so I want to look at just a few of the blessings out of many. And so one of them is the idea of FaceTime. And I looked up, I'm an Apple guy, that may shock you, but the Google FaceTime, I think it's Duo, if I'm pronouncing that right, Skype was the, they've done that in the past, but the idea, my mom loves this aspect. She lives in Florida, many, many hours of driving away, and so we get to show kids, and actually, me, Benjamin, and Hannah will play Yahtzee. With Nana, and I think Hannah or Benjamin wins just about every time. So that's a blessing that we can kind of have that communication so many miles away. The idea of Facebook keeps us connected with folks back in Joplin, where I was before, and kind of check on them, see how they're doing, and of course all the pictures that are there. Those are always fun and neat to see. The entertainment aspect, I wrote this down in my notes, you might want to add them, that without screens, we would not have Barney Fife. And I think that's just, we need to think on that for a little bit. So, you know, obviously, wholesome entertainment is a very good thing. And we can just quickly send information very, very fast, just through phone calls, emails, encouraging Facebook's messages or posts, knowing if a restaurant is good, has good reviews, whether I should go here or there. And on that note, now I think that may be the end of my list. Nope, one more. I love the fact that I can punch in an address and my phone tells me where to go. Before that, I would completely get lost, and I was kind of known for getting lost. YouTube how-to videos have been a lifesaver and a money saver. So it's certainly a lot of blessings, listening to podcasts, sermons, live stream is all blessings that we have. But I want us to look at some of the things that we're fighting against as we are guarding our hearts, guarding our souls from this technology. The idea of giving instant gratification, it really feeds that. And the idea of instant gratification is the idea of I do not need patience. So as long as I am instantly being gratified, and if something is not instantly entertaining me, then I'm lacking patience, and that is not a blessing. If an app or a game gets boring, then I just close that one and open up a new one. And the idea of apps, they're really good at keeping us coming back to that app or that game, the rewards or points or challenges. That just kind of feeds into the idea of I want to keep coming back and the addictive nature, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. Maybe one of the big things, and I don't want you to see this list as in most importance. This is just a list. You can categorize it however you want. But one of the main things that I think that we have to be very cautious about in devices and things of that nature is what it keeps us from doing. It keeps us from being maybe as productive as we should be. I don't know if you've done this, but I've done this several times. I'll click on a video, and I'll watch that five-minute video, and then what comes up next? Another video. Well, that kind of piques my interest, and before long, it's an hour. It's 2 hours. Well, where did that go? Where did my time go? It kept me from being very productive. And I want us to turn to, and I'm going to be giving kind of a lot of lists. This is kind of a different kind of lesson for me. But I want us to look at this idea of keeping us from being productive. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy 4, and we're going to be starting looking at let's start in verse 6. And this is Paul's admonition to Timothy. If you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed, having nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. What is Paul's admonition to Timothy? I want you to struggle. I want you to strive towards living a godly life. Now, if we are striving and toiling for that goal, I think we would be very much more careful. I know I would be more careful in how I spend my time and what is keeping me from doing that. Another negative of technology, or a possible negative, maybe that's how we should see these, as a possible negative of technology, that it can hinder relationship or relational skills. And you've probably seen this if you've ever gone to a restaurant, and you will maybe see a family, mom and dad and their children, and what do you see? Just about every time, if you look hard enough, you'll see them all, if not one or two of them, on their devices and looking at their phone. And it's hard to have a conversation with someone who is constantly looking on their phone. And if you're kind of, you've probably been there, done that, seen that. But how does that come across? For me, it comes across as, well, I'm not as important as whatever you're looking at on the phone. And that's certainly not how we want to come across. We may give this excuse, and you may have heard this before, that we're trying to have a conversation with Junior, and Junior has his phone or something, mom or dad's phone with them, and we're trying to have a conversation with, hey, how are you? How is your day? And it's just, you know, it's as though you're not there, and mom or dad says, I'm so sorry. Junior is really shy. And if I were to speak up, I would say something like, I don't think Junior is shy. I don't think that's the problem. I think Junior is being a little rude. Or maybe Junior hasn't been taught how to interact and conversate with adults or anyone. And people skills is really one of the most important skills that we can have. If we are going to bring people to Christ and we are going to talk to them about God, isn't this something that we should excel in? And if you're a parent, like me or an uncle or an aunt or a grandparent, isn't this something that you would want to try to teach and help your children or whoever it may be to grow in this area? And certainly, it can become very addictive. You know this. I know this. But this has been compared to the apps, the games, video games, whatever. It has been compared to drug addiction. And there are a lot of similarities between the two. The idea of drugs, and thank God, I have never tried drugs, and I don't plan to. But the idea is you take a drug, and it's, wow, that was something. You get a high from that. And what I learn is that they are always seeking that initial high. And so they will gravitate towards stronger drugs that will hopefully do that same thing, will recreate that feeling of sensation. And you just think about when I was real small, we had an Atari at Granny's house, and it was great. It had Pac-Man and Pitfall. And all these, Pong, I think, was another great Atari game. And then they came out with the Nintendo, and that just blew the Atari out of the water. I think it was like 16-bit gaming system. And then, you know, pretty soon it just gravitates to what we see now. Sometimes it's hard to figure out, is that live TV or are you controlling? It's just becoming more and more exciting. So what once thrilled me, Pong, if you're familiar with that, now it's like, well, why in the world would you be playing Pong when you can be playing whatever the latest and greatest thing is? And that can have the same impact. And even with apps on a game, maybe the game that once thrilled us, we just want to keep getting that same joy out of that. And so what we tend to do, or what the gaming people want us to do, is, well, once that game really thrilled you, now you're ready for a more intense game. Now you're ready for a more stimulating game, recreating that high. It has been said, and I believe it, just the idea of how this can be so addictive. Is someone kind of put a challenge out to a bunch of young adults, young kids, and they said, I want you to go without your phone for 24 hours. And I bet you would be surprised at how many could not do it. They were just so addicted. They needed it. What does that sound like to you? Maybe you have a better answer, but it sounds so much to me as they have become a slave to that. And one thing that we are not to be called as is slaves. We are slaves to Christ and not to anything or devices. Another thing that technology can steal us from is energy and brain power is what I put here. But you think about the idea of some games are very addicting, takes up a lot of our time and energy. It's all we think about. And just think about it. If it's challenging to us and us as adults, just think about how much more of an influence, how much more powerful this can be to a child. This can be extremely addictive to a child. If we have a hard time putting down the device, just think how much more so. Video games can become a problem. And I know this through experience. So again, in no way am I trying to come across as I have this all figured out and I'm doing this perfect. It's easy to play a game, and for me, it was Mario Kart. I mean, I was good at Mario Kart, and I would play someone, and we would play all night, and pretty soon it would be about 3-something in the morning, and I'll just go ahead and tattletale on myself here. We did this on a Saturday night, and I don't know if how many of you know Scott Wyatt, but I'm going to throw him under the bus with me. But it was Scott Wyatt and me on Saturday night, and we played till about 3 in the morning. We, of course, lost track of time. Sunday morning was approaching, and we got very little sleep. And I just wasn't as focused, wasn't as attentive as I should have been on Sunday morning. Of course, I didn't tell my mom. Miss Wyatt did and got me in trouble there. But the idea of, well, just one more game. How many times have we said that? 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 13 says, prepare your minds for action. Be sober in spirit. Knowing we are up against a lion that is seeking and devouring to kill us, how alert do we need to be? And the more we kind of let ourselves go, if I can say it that way, in these things, the more susceptible we are to his schemes and devices. Another one, of course, is texting and driving. I read this, 1 out of every 4 accidents is caused by texting and driving. 1.6 million crashes a year are caused by this. It says, texting while driving, you are 6 times more likely, 6 times more likely to get into a crash than a person driving drunk. That text can wait. Or if you think it is so important, pull aside, stop, and do that. Easy content, easy access to sinful content. Pornography is easier to get to than ever before. And it may occur just not because of what you are typing in the search engine, but just a pop-up ad. And that just kind of strikes your attention and you have to, well, I wonder what that leads to. And that can be very tempting. Pornography is not just a temptation for men. I think men are very, we need to be very watchful, very, very aware of this. But I read 1 in 3 viewers are women. And the average age, this should get our attention, parents. The average age a child sees porn online is 11. So when do we need to start talking to our children about this? Maybe sooner than we think. And I don't have to tell you that pornography is extremely addictive and maybe even more destructive. There's not too many things, not too many sinful behaviors that God tells us in his word to flee, to run from. I can think of 2. Flee idolatry, anything that comes before God, and flee, run away from. Don't play with, don't tinker with, don't think I'm stronger than. Flee immorality. I want you to look at this passage, even though you know it well. Look at Matthew chapter 18. And we'll look at verses 7, 8, and 9. Matthew 18. With this in mind, it says, woe to the world because of its stumbling blocks. For it is inevitable that stumbling blocks come, talking about temptations. But woe to that man through whom the stumbling block comes. If your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. Throw it from you. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than to have two hands or two feet and to be cast into eternal fire. If your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out and throw it from you. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and to be cast into fiery hell. Now let me ask you this question. If you pluck out one eye, is it still possible to sin with the other eye?
Sure.
What's the idea? The idea is it's inevitable. It says it's going to happen that stumbling blocks are going to come. You will be tempted. What are you going to do about that? Jesus gets very graphic. Jesus teaches us a teaching that hopefully we will never forget, that they would never forget. How dangerous is sin? It is so dangerous, we need to get it far from us. Now, I'm not going to tell you that if you struggle with pornography, you need to destroy your computer, you need to get rid of your smartphones and whatever, get rid of your tablets. Is that going to keep you from pornography? No, because if you want it bad enough, you'll find a way to get it. What I am telling you is we need to be this serious about this sin. Flee immorality. Many marriages have been destroyed because of this. And they have been destroyed while they are married. They have been destroyed before they got married because they were so addictive to this. This is something we need to very much be aware of. Depression has gone up. And especially, again, kind of looking at the younger crowd, there have been more suicides because of their peers or people posting or writing negative comments about them. And I think the older you get, maybe the more you can kind of shrug that off. But when you're small and impressionable and someone writes something very bad about you, that sticks with you. Negative and mean comments have a huge impact on young people. And haven't you noticed that maybe people can be very bold, very courageous, and say very strong things behind a computer screen? That they would never say in front of someone. Not very many likes. Therefore, I guess I'm not liked by other people. It can be used as constant entertainment. What is the one phrase that you hear more often by young people? I'm bored. Screens can give instant gratification. Music. I remember kind of the first time that we were watching something live, and then something came on. Well, what is this? I said, well, it's called a commercial. No commercials needed. Constant fun. It can certainly feed into a self-focused mindset. I need to be entertained. And the idea of more advertisements. A good advertisement makes the watcher desire to buy whatever is being sold. Whether it's vacation, cars, new toys. What does that feed? Well, it does not feed, I am grateful for what I have. It feeds, I am now dissatisfied with what I have. Instead of being grateful to the Lord for what he has abundantly blessed us with. I want us to turn our attention to Proverbs chapter 4, to the passage that was read before us. And I'm trying to keep an eye on time. Proverbs chapter 4, and since this passage was read, I will not reread it. Neil did a fine job of doing that, but we're going to take this a little bit out of order. The idea of watching your heart, watch, or some versions say guard, and I like that idea, guard your hearts with all diligence. In verses 23 to 25, one of the things that we need to be very careful of ourselves in speaking as a parent, grandparent, whatever, you need to be very careful on what we allow to influence our thoughts and our thinking. Whatever we watch and listen to influences how we think, and we would be very foolish to say something, oh, that doesn't bother me, or I am not affected by such and such. Be very involved with your heart and the hearts of those you are called to watch over. Be diligent. Guard your hearts. And as parents, as grandparents, whatever role fits you, uncle, aunt, whatever, you must model this behavior. One of the things that the book I was reading on this says one of the most destructive things is a parent not doing what he's telling his children to do. Telling his children, you need to put that away, or you're spending way too much time on, while the child looks at him or her and says, well, you're doing it all the time. We must model good behavior. We must be involved in watching over the hearts of our children. And some of us may say that, well, I have no clue about technology. I'm just not that savvy when it comes to that. Well, if you understood what Satan is trying to do to your children, do you think you would become savvy? You think that would motivate you? I hope that would motivate you to say, I need to get involved. And I need to figure these things out because this is spiritual warfare. The goal of parenting, and you can take this. This is from me, so listen up and judge. The goal of parenting is not to get the kids to follow the rules, but to love the rules. And this is what I mean by that. If a child simply obeys the rules, the restrictions that we have set, what's going to happen if they don't agree with that rule? Well, they're going to go to their friends and say, hey, can I borrow your phone? And they will find a way to get what they want. Now, if they love the rule and they know all the dangers of what is happening, and someone says, you want to see my phone? And that's something I need to stay away from. That's the goal. Our goal as parents is to get their heart to where they want to flee this temptation. They know the dangers of it. A lot of Proverbs is kind of wrapped up in these two verses, 26 and 27, is the idea of watching where you're going. Ponder the path that your feet are going. We need to look ahead and see where the path leads. If we see danger ahead, well, it would be wise for us to choose another path. If screens are a problem in your home, do what is best in your household. You are the parent, and therefore you have the responsibility to love your household well. Love is not defined by doing whatever your child wants. Love is doing what is best for your child. And that may mean we're going to cut back. And just go with me. When you say we're going to not do this as much, or we're going to put restrictions or boundaries on this, how is your child going to react to that? Probably not too well. You must win, because you know this is a battle that must must be fought, and I'm not going to give in. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, very short verse, very powerful verse, says, "Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong." A lot of admonitions telling us, do what's right, stand up for what needs to be stood for. But verses 20 through 22 really kind of gives us the counter. And keep God's word in your heart, because they are the words of life. Instead of apps and games, make it your goal to grow spiritually. We must arm ourselves with the armor of God. We will have to give an account before the Lord for what we have done. The more we focus on God and loving Him, the more character traits and the more character principles that we are teaching, the better. Devices can be a good thing. And I hope you're not misunderstanding me. Devices can be a very helpful and good thing, but in moderation. I want to close by looking at four practical suggestions, and the lesson will be yours. And these are suggestions. These are not rules that you have to follow. So I want to make sure you understand that. Well, the preacher said, no, these are just suggestions. Set boundaries on screen time and stick to those boundaries. If you budge, the children will take advantage of that. Most children will take advantage of that. If you notice poor behavior after screen time, maybe you need to reevaluate. Maybe you need to cut back more in allowing them to have it. Another suggestion is put your phones away. And this has been helpful to me. Put your phone away when you come home from work. Because what can happen, what has happened to me, is I can bring work home with me. But when I put my phone away, there's that distraction that is gone, and I can focus more tentatively on my kids, on my wife. It's easy to see what that ding is about on Facebook or Instagram or whatever, email or whatever. Put your phones away. Another suggestion is no screens in bedrooms. And I would say this is especially important for children. Having a designated charging station, maybe in mom and dad's bedroom, would be a good idea. And making sure that you have phones or tablets or whatever through the night, so they're not wasting time doing things they can't, are not supposed to be doing during the night. I've noticed that Satan is really good at tempting me when I'm all alone. And maybe you need to have periods of fasting, not maybe of food. Maybe that's necessary as well. But maybe fasting from devices. Screens can become babysitters. And allows you to have a much needed break. But remember, if you're as old as I am, and I'm 37, you didn't grow up with screens. And look how I turned out. Didn't think I'd get that response. They will learn how to entertain themselves. And maybe you can help them do things that can be more productive with their time. In closing, I would just say, don't give up. You may lose a battle, but don't lose the war. This is an ever-present danger. So let's guard our hearts and be diligent about that, and certainly be guarding the hearts of those we love. If there is anyone here who needs to do what the Lord has commanded them, who needs the prayers of this congregation, great group, is ready to pray for you and love you and show compassion towards you. If you have any need, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and as we sing.